I think sometimes we forget that actually Jesus was actually a baby. And he had to learn all the things that we had to learn as babies. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. He went through those stages of development when he could just about steady himself, holding on to his mother's finger or holding on to the edge of the chair that his stepfather Joseph had made, because his stepfather was a carpenter. And, you know, when I think of the Christmas story, I'm intrigued by this character, Joseph. In some ways, I feel a bit sorry for him. And we had in that reading from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1, something of how God reassured Joseph. Because Joseph went through all sorts of feelings and emotions, particularly when he found out that the woman, the young woman that he was in love with, the woman that he promised to marry, was expecting a baby. And he couldn't quite grasp, he couldn't quite work out what was really going on. And so this morning we're going to consider something of Joseph. But before we do so, boys and girls, I just really want you to be involved this morning as well. And if under normal circumstances, if you were here in the chapel and we weren't in a pandemic, then at this point, we'd do a little quiz. But what we'll do is, I'm going to ask you, these words go together. They're pairs. So for instance, and those of you boys and girls who are going to join us afterwards on Zoom, then maybe get some paper now, get a pen or a pencil and paper, and perhaps mum or dad or whoever's looking after you can help you. But these words go together, okay? So here's an example, all right, just to give you the idea how it works. Salt and... correct. I heard you all shouting, salt and pepper. Okay, so that's the sort of thing. I'll give you another example, and then we'll get to the quiz, okay? Here's the next example, okay? Fish and... and the four people in the chapel are all shouting out. Not really. Fish and chips. Okay, so here we go. Here's a little quiz, okay? And you might, for some of these, because I'm getting old, for some of these, you might need help, okay? And the other thing is, extra points, okay? And by the way, I've got a Christmas jumper for afterwards as well, okay? I didn't want to preach wearing a jumper full of sprouts. I didn't think that would be appropriate. But there we are. Here we go. If you can think of some more pairs, there's extra bonus points, okay? So here we go. Ready? Are you with me? Okay, Neil's there. Neil's entering in. He's a great guy. Okay. Knife and... have you got that? Okay. Bread and cat and Batman and, got it? Listen carefully, this is the hard one. Bride and bacon and, here's a difficult one. Give and king and. And here's one for the adults. Romeo and. And here's one just for Ian, okay? Okay, here's one for Paul as well. Morecambe and. And we could go on. And if you have a little think after the service, if you can come up with more, there's extra bonus points, okay? And of course, don't forget, after the service, I'll be in my sprouts, my Christmas jumper, sprouts. And with flashing lights, so you can look forward to that on Zoom afterwards. Joseph, I have to say, and don't tell my son this, because my son's called David, but Joseph is my favourite boy's name. My grandfather was called Benjamin Joseph. And I've always been, even as a child, intrigued with this Christmas personality called Joseph. And the Bible tells us quite a bit, not a lot, but there is enough there for us this morning to consider Joseph. Of course, going back to my son David, I managed to get his name in, so he is David Joseph Luke. And so I managed to actually get his name into somewhere in his title. But there we are, Joseph. I love the name Joseph. And actually, the name Joseph means that God will increase. And I think of the Christmas story that you always hear of, don't you? Perhaps you come home from school and you say, and you're a little girl and you say, "Mom, I've been chosen to be Mary." Or you're a little boy and you come home and you say, "Mom, Dad, I've been chosen to be Joseph." Mary and Joseph, they go together, don't they? Arach Llewellyn, our little grandson who lives in Manchester, he came home a couple of weeks ago and he said, "Mom, Dad, have a guess what? I'm going to be in the Christmas play." And we're all thinking, great, shepherd, wise man. We heard about the wise men this morning from David. Shepherd, wise man. Oh no, could it be? Could it be that he's going to be the star of the show? Oh no, because Jesus is the star of the show. But is he going to be Joseph? No. So Llewellyn, what are you going to be? "I'm going to be a pig." I have to say, in that moment, as his grandfather, my hopes were dashed. And as we read this passage, in the moment that Joseph discovered that Mary was expecting a baby, I think his dreams and hopes were dashed in a moment. You see, it was a shocking discovery. It was a shattered dream. And then it was a sad decision. The shocking discovery was that Mary was going to have a baby. And yet Joseph knew that because he loved God, because he was a good man, an honourable man, he knew that he promised to marry her. But they hadn't slept together. They hadn't done the things that husbands and wives would do because they were only betrothed. And so this was a shocking discovery. And yet, because he loved God so much, it meant that the way in which he responds to this shocking news actually tells us a bit about his heart. You see, those people, and if you love God, then how we respond, people who love God will respond in a godly way, or ought to. And Joseph responded in a godly way to this shocking discovery. His dreams, perhaps, had been shattered. He was busy in the months leading up to when they were due to be married. He was making things ready. He wanted things to be just right for his beautiful Mary. I don't know. Sometimes I let my imagination run riot. And that's okay sometimes. As a carpenter, I seem to imagine Joseph busy making some furniture, a nice table and chairs, a nice rocking chair for Mary to recline in. I just envisage Joseph wanting everything to be just right for the woman he loved, for his dear Mary. And then this shocking discovery. In that moment, perhaps he felt that his dreams had been shattered. It wasn't meant to be like this. What will people think of Mary now? What will people think of me? Surely, if I don't understand this, how are other people going to understand this? Then he reflects. That means he thought this very carefully. "She told me that an angel from God told her that she became an expectant mother because God was at work, This was God's work. This was God's doing. I don't know. I've never heard anything like this, thought Joseph. And so with this shocking discovery and his dreams shattered, he decided to make a sad decision. And being a just man and unwilling to put Mary to shame, he decided to divorce her quietly. Quietly. And that tells me that his love for God meant that his love for Mary was a godly love. And so he didn't want to allow Mary to be mocked. He didn't want to embarrass her publicly. So he thought he would do the right thing. Quietly. Quietly. I wonder sometimes, it's very easy to get caught up with wanting to do things and say things so everyone can see and hear. But often God really honours those things that are done for him and in his name. Those things that are done discreetly. Those things that are done quietly. Those things that are done away from everyone's gaze. And I think he came to that conclusion because he was a man who really loved God. And his love for God spilled over in for how he would deal with this shocking news, how he would deal with his shattered dreams. And he came to this sad decision that he would break off that promise to marry his beloved Mary. But we then read in verse 20 that God, who sees and knows all things, he steps in. Because God cares deeply for Joseph. He doesn't want to allow Joseph to leave Joseph with shattered dreams, with this shocking discovery. And he certainly doesn't want them to end up in divorce, because God hates divorce. So God steps in. And we read in verse 20 that as he considered these things, behold, I love the word behold. It gets you going, doesn't it, in the Christmas story. Behold! Behold! And when an angel steps into your dream and says, behold, you are bewildered. And I'm sure Joseph was. But the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, Joseph, this is who he is. He is a descendant of David. Wow. In other words, this humble man who loved God, who was just, who made the right choices by and large in life, because he wanted to honour God, he was a descendant. And if he mapped his family tree, which Matthew does for us in these opening verses, you can go all the way back. You can see that he is a descendant of the king. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? That's exciting, isn't it? He is a relative of King David. But the amazing news that God conveys to Joseph through the angel is this. Joseph, son of David, do not fear, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's okay. Because what she's communicated to you is true. What is conceived in her is the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God was responsible. God, the Holy Spirit, was responsible for Mary having a baby. Well, that's quite something, isn't it? That's more than amazing. That's a miracle. And that's the beauty of Christmas. It's the miraculous that we see that became, the miraculous became reality. God stepped into Joseph's dark hour. He stepped into his broken dreams. He stepped into his shocking discovery and said, "It's okay. Don't be afraid." My little boy rang me last night. He's not so little. He's up there, man. I'm like this. You all right? He rang me last night because the First Minister of Wales made a shocking decision in his book that Christmas will be very different this year. And maybe there are boys and girls and men and women who feel now that all their dreams of how they envisage Christmas to be is now a shattered dream. And the shocking discovery is that we can't really go anywhere or do anything. But this is the amazing thing. I believe God has stepped into our time. Not just through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, but even now. He steps into our life and our moments. And in the midst of the darkness and the shattered dreams, God has stepped in. Do you know what he's done? Think about this. Everything's closed. But this lockdown is different to previous lockdowns because God has stepped in. You can go to a church or a chapel. You can focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can worship him. You can know him. You can receive him. You can enjoy him. You can actually put Christmas back, put Christ back into Christmas. God has stepped in. Do you see that? So if you feel a little bit like Joseph's morning, that this shocking decision, this shocking news, shattered dreams, a dark time, sad decision, but God, don't be afraid. God said to Joseph through the angel, don't be afraid. What has happened is of me. Mary is having a baby. It's all due to the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. She will bear you a son. And you will call his name Jesus. Which Jesus literally means God saves. Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus means. In our culture, the nearest we have to Jesus is Joshua. Yeah? Because Jeshua, well, in our culture, the nearest to that is Jesus. Maybe you're called Joshua. Ah, but Jesus, he was no ordinary child. He was no ordinary baby. He is the Son of God. God's Lamb, born for us. Born that man no more may die. Born to give us second birth. Born to save us from our sins. Born to cleanse us. Born to redeem us. That means to bring us back, to buy us back. And give, it's all those that through his death he buys us back and gives us back to God. Isn't that wonderful? And Joseph here, in hearing this, realizing now, and the angel of the Lord prompts him to think that all this is to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet of old. And then we have that quote from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Behold, here's another one. Behold, take note, look, Sit up. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I've heard that name somewhere before. Yes. This church is called Emmanuel. Evangelical Church. Do you know what Emmanuel means? We don't have to guess, do we? Because God doesn't want to keep us guessing. He wants us to know. Emmanuel means God is with us. Isn't that amazing? That God is with us. Even in 2020, even through a terrible year, even through the pain and the distress and the pandemic and all that's gone on and all that's going on in your little life and in my life, Christmas reminds us that God came in the person of Jesus, his only begotten Son. God is with us. He came and lived amongst us. He became like one of us. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. But at the same time, as David reminded us this morning, he's God. Who is he that lies in the manger? It's God in flesh. Jesus, God, the Son. You see, God came not just for us, but he came to be with us, and he came to live in us. How can God live in me? By simply asking Jesus to forgive me of all my sin. By simply asking Jesus to be my Saviour. And in that moment, when we do, this great God comes, the Bible says, comes and makes his home in our hearts. That King Jesus comes and lives in us. Wow. Wow. Who needs a new Xbox? Who needs a new Nintendo? Who needs an iPhone 12? Who needs these things when we can know and have and enjoy the Lord Jesus himself? Where is he? Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by. But one day, if we trust in him, we shall see him in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. Isn't that wonderful? That is the hope that God gives us. That is the hope that Christ brings this Christmas. That hope is real. It's real. And the psalmist says this in Psalm 112, that light dawns in the darkness for those who fear God. And so light, the eternal light, shone and became a reality in Joseph's life. Why? Because he was a man who feared God. He was a man who loved God, and because his love for God was real and sincere, and so that made his love for Mary real and sincere. Do you see the point? If we love God, we'll love people. It wasn't a sham for Joseph. In the midst of the darkness of this shocking discovery, in the midst of this shattered dream, in the midst of this sad decision, there was divine revelation. There was a definite requirement. Take Mary home to be your wife. God says to Joseph, I'm in charge. We sometimes use the word sovereign. That means God's, there's no one above God. He is the king. He is the ruler over everything. There's a divine revelation. God steps in. He reveals himself. He reveals more than a message. He reveals himself through Jesus Christ. There's a definite requirement. And then there's a delightful realization. We finish with this, and you've listened really well. There's a delightful realization. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then we read this, verse 24. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And if you turn the page, you'll see on two further occasions when God speaks, when God steps in, and on both occasions, Joseph did as the Lord commanded him. So Joseph really did know that God was going to add to him, was going to increase things for him. He was given the special, special responsibility of helping Mary raise the Lord Jesus. He was given that special responsibility to give him the name. Whew, I go back to thinking when our David was born and we had a conference with his mom and his sisters. And there was little old me. And if you're a boy, you know, if you've got three girls ganging up on you, it's hard work, isn't it? Joseph. Oh, to call him Joseph, God will increase. But we end up with David. That's okay. We like David. We like the name. But this is the point. You know what David means? Beloved of God. God's beloved. And so for Joseph, he was given the amazing responsibility to raise great David's greater son. I mean, if you thought David was something, you've not seen anything yet. He is great David's greater son. And you, Joseph, you're going to have the awesome responsibility to care for him, to provide for his needs, to help him grow and develop, to support Mary. What an amazing thing that is. Boys and girls, mums and dads, grandparents, friends, neighbours, countrymen, whoever you are watching today, if Jesus is not in your life, then you are missing out. Even in the darkness, even in the pain, even in the uncertainty, he's willing to step in. He's not promising to remove it, but he's willing to be Emmanuel. He's willing to come and be with you, to live in you, and he's willing to save you. Why don't you ask him, Lord Jesus, save me from my sin. Lord Jesus, put your power within. Make me into a child of God. King of the highest heaven, he came to turn a stranger into someone who knows God, loves God, and can enjoy God. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And we can ask him on account of the cross where Jesus died for our sins. He was given the name Jesus because he's able to save people, his people, from their sins. And so we come and adore him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May you know him, and may you know him this Christmas and enjoy him throughout the new year and into eternity. But we're going to close our